I let Hauser go this morning. Tomorrow morning, you take the case back.
I woke up at 2 in the morning. Dylan wasn't in bed.
Is there something you're trying to hide?
I think I want a lawyer.
Yeah, I would too.
What the hell's the matter with you?
Sit down. I need to tell you something.
Did you toss her bike into the river, Deacon?
Just leave me alone.
No, that's impossible.
Get in the fucking car!
Jess Wiley asked for mayor. Says she has information on Ann McMenamin.
Get mayor on the phone. Do it now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to East Town and Down, a Mayor of East Town recap show about the limited television series Mayor of East Town, starring Academy Award winner Kate Winslet. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth, and with me, as always, my wonderful co-host, Leah Bonema. How the hell are you today?
Woo! Still recovering from last night, Chris. Still recovering from last night. It was like one crying scene into the next one.
You told me last night you cried about 4 times.
Yeah, it may have been more. Anytime anybody else cried, I cried.
So you're going to have to highlight each moment that you cried when we go, as we parse this episode apart. You know, I've been very negligent with I told people to reach out to us with thoughts and comments or anything like that. And I was doing some work on Facebook. I very seldom go to Facebook, and I found that we have a message.
Wow.
Yeah, we got a message from Mike. I'm not going to say your full name, but I'm going to read what Mike said about the pod. He says, "Hey, Chris, you and Leah are killing it with your East Town and Down podcast. Love your enthusiasm and insights. My son is part of a brewery, 2SP, in Aston, Delaware County, right across from where they're filming some of the show. And their flagship, and their flagship brew is Delco Lager. Can't get more Delco than that. He also lives in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, where they have shot some of the exteriors for the show. And if you noticed in episode 1, Richard recites Back to Mayor, and it's Coco's for the cheesesteaks. Coco's has kind of partnered up with the brewery and delivers to the tasting room there. You also mentioned in passing you did a comedy show in Newton. Did you mean Newtown? I think that I did mean Newtown. That's my home base these days. The Newtown Theater is the oldest theater continuously showing movies. Let me see. Continuously showing movies. Frederick Douglass spoke there. Wow. Black history fact. Everyone around this locale is pretty pumped about the show, and I've been spreading the word about your podcast. It is really enjoyable and definitely on point. My wife, who is Irish, did mention that you noted that Mayor was a little cold towards the family. She said that's definitely an Irish thing. If they're not down for, if they're not down your throat or in your face about something, that's the Irish silent, I love you. they rarely actually say it. Best, Mike. That was so nice. Thank you, Mike. Thanks for reaching out.
So great. And let's do another shout out to the brewery. It's named.
Okay, let me pull that up.
I just remember the Delcro Lager is the.
Yeah, so it's. My son is part of a brewery, 2SP. I guess that's the name of the brewery. Let me just look that up to make sure. Is that
2SP,
the name?
2SP, and the Delco Lager is their.
Their 2SP Brewing Company in. I just saw the ad. Aston, PA. So.
And check out the Delco Lager, correct?
Yeah, check them out. Check them out.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, that's so cool. So he knows a lot of those places. Newtown Theater, I did a show there. Oh, maybe I want to say maybe it had to be maybe 2019, maybe mid to late 2018 or 2019, sometime in the summer. It was really nice. It's one of those gigs, you know, how you can do a one nighter and come home the same night. You don't have to get it. You don't have to get a hotel. Yeah. I like those. And the last time I was down, what I normally like to do is go see a movie before a show. And I didn't get to go there, But there was one time I did a show at a synagogue, and it was, I think it was Ben Salem Mall. Is there like a mall in Ben Salem, Pennsylvania?
I believe there is.
Yeah, it's like there's like an AMC there. Yeah, Ben Salem, AMC Ben Salem. Oh, Neshaminy Mall. Neshaminy Mall.
Neshaminy.
Is that how you, Neshaminy.
That's where my family's from.
Oh shit, okay. So yeah, that's like, it's like a nice little trip. You can listen to a couple albums on the way down there from where I live, and you can get focused for the show. And I went to the movies there. I forget what movie I saw, but that was right before my Hyundai Sonata got totaled.
Oh man, what happened?
I was going to a gig in Frederick, Maryland, my old college town, and there was a metal thing fell off this truck, and I couldn't get it out of the way of it, and it gutted the undercarriage of my car, and it got totaled because it just gutted the undercarriage.
I'm so sorry. That's so scary.
Yeah. And I made it back home. I said, fuck it, I'm going to just drive back home. I canceled my gig. I mean, I told them I couldn't make it. And now I have a Ford Focus. Ford Fusion.
Must have been very scary. I'm sorry.
It was scary.
Car stuff is so scary.
It is scary, and yeah. So, but I like, other than that time, I like driving through Pennsylvania.
I also know from our many conversations, not on the podcast, that you always like to go to a movie before shows. And I love that.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing. It's like my favorite because it just relaxes me. And, and if something funny happens during the movie, or if I think something funny happens, I can talk about it on stage to just try to loosen me up and not have to dive right into my material. I just kind of learned from like watching, I opened for Marc Maron once. God, we're not even talking about this podcast. We're not even talking about this. We're not even talking about episode 6, but I remember he was like, he had been at the time that it was 10 years ago when I had worked with him. So he was kind of getting tired of just doing his set, and he was just talking about his day. It's what most veteran comics do anyway. And I was a few years in, and I was like, oh, so you just talk about your day? And he was like, yeah. He's like, I just didn't want to get right into my material. And he's like, why don't you do that? I was like, because I don't want to mess up your show and not be funny. And he told me to give it a try. So I think the next time I talked about going to Walmart that day, and it was pretty good. So thanks, Marc Maron. All right.
I think when you don't have earphones on, do you hear me? Do I have an echo?
Oh no, I can't. I can't hear you. I can't hear an echo. No.
Okay, great. Okay,
you're good. Great. You're good. Yeah, but I love gigging in Pennsylvania. It's always fun because it's so close. Like doing gigs in the Poconos and all that stuff. Have you done a lot of gigs in PA?
Yeah, I used to do a lot of gigs in PA.
You did a lot of Soul Joel gigs, right?
I did a lot of Soul Joel gigs, and I did some Poconos gigs.
Yeah. I want to get back with Soul Joel, but he won't return my email.
That place in Royersford.
Yeah, I know. I want to work with him again. But I worked with him very early on and was doing stuff in like Hoboken and Staten Island.
Send him your new album.
I should, yeah.
Just send him your album. Be like, this is my new album.
Yeah.
I got a hot podcast. I'd love to come out.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. Again, like a two-hour gig. The last gig that I did before the shutdown, the last road gig, I think one of the last ones was in Reading, Pennsylvania. And it was about 2 hours. And when you don't want to get a hotel and you just want to like plow ahead, and just after the gig was over, I just went home. I went to Sheetz. You ever been to Sheetz?
No.
It's kind of like Wawa. I'm sentimental towards it because it was close to my undergrad, and that's where we used to like get food when we didn't want made to order. They give you made to order sandwiches, and now the menu's so expansive that I'm kind of disappointed. I went there Thursday on my way to see my parents. I was disappointed.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's not the same.
You know, I once did a gig in Pittsburgh and drove all the way back.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's 6 hours.
It was more than that.
You drove in the same day?
In the same day.
You must have been in your 20s.
No, this was last year.
We can say that
was in my 20s.
Holy shit. Wow. Yeah, so casting directors, you were in your 20s.
Yeah, casting guys, I was in my 20s last year. I just saw this. I have a note that I took during my therapy last week, and I have it stuck, and I have it right here. I just thought of that because we have Mayor of Easttown, and as you were talking, I looked over and I was like, "Do I just have this on the kitchen table?" And then I was like, "Yeah, I do." I just saw it right now. when my therapist drops gems, I write it down.
Can you share what it said or no?
Yeah, I can share what it said. It's very particular to me. I have a habit of when I'm actually very angry at people, of feeling guilty.
Me too.
I'll be like, oh, I must have done something, da da da. But really, I'm just angry that they behaved in a certain way. But somehow, it's like I'm not allowed to be angry. I always have to like rise above or turn the other cheek or whatever. So I just start feeling guilty immediately.
Yeah.
So she was like, maybe every time you feel guilty, you should be like, am I angry? I wrote, don't feel guilty, you're angry, underlined.
There you go. Yeah, well, I mean, all right.
It's on my bottle of antidepressants.
Hey, right on. let's get into this. I mean, give me some of your overall thoughts on this episode. So you cried a bunch.
I cried so much.
We had one death.
Was it just one? Because it felt like more.
It was one death that we found. Yeah. Freddie. We lost Freddie.
I guess I also was still reeling from the loss of Zabel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when we went right into Freddie, I was like, I was just dealing with somebody else that we lost. Now I'm going to lose more people.
And it almost seemed inevitable. I mean, I would have. It didn't surprise me, but when Betty showed up, you know, she had called Mayor to his house, and I was just like, oh, okay, he's the black guy's dad. He OD'd.
This didn't seem like the episode where people, or not the episode, the entire season where people like make it,
yeah,
go to rehab and do better. You know, mm-hmm. It's just this doesn't.
No, this isn't that type of show.
It's not going to end well for anybody.
But that's the thing that I love about limited series and BBC shows that you and I both enjoy, you know, where it's like anybody can get it and it's everybody's fair game and it could happen. I mean, we were kind of expecting that. And it, you know, like that's something that's true to life. You know, I had that in my family. A lot of people, I've experienced friends that have had it. The opioids and all of that stuff. Yeah. It's definitely a real thing that's happening in this country.
Well, we know a lot of comics, a lot of people struggle with drug addiction.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was real. A couple of things tied up. I mean, happy to see, Don, and Katie being reunited, but we'll get into that. Anything else?
I think the other things are more, you know, more notes on when it comes up. I mean,
yeah.
I felt so bad for Mayor when Colin Zabel's mom slapped her.
Gave her the two-piece with the same hand.
With the two-piece with the same hand.
I was like, oh, I knew it was coming.
I knew as soon as she got out of the car and walked to that door, I was like, what are you fucking doing?
She gonna get hit.
It's not about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Okay. So episode 6, Sore Must Be the Storm. This is the title's taken from an Emily Dickinson poem called Hope is the Thing with Feathers. And, you know, why don't I just read that? I'll just read the poem. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. And sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that could abash the little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me. Now, this is pretty deep. And I'm just going to snatch this meaning from what Google says. And, you know, anybody else that wants to contribute, you know, hit us up on Twitter or message us at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Here we go. Frank. Okay, let's see. Dickinson incorporates the themes of nature and of the individual self in Hope is the Thing with Feathers. The poet portrays hope as a resilient songbird that perches on the soul and lives within the individual. So I guess maybe it's referring to Mare being resolute in who she is, about resolute and wanting to solve this case. And in a lot of ways, you know, we'll get to this when we talk about the therapy scene, but putting others before herself, even with her gruff exterior, she's still, there's something that in her that still pulsates to keep going on, even though she's been through a lot of trauma in her life.
And I think also it was like Dawn's hope to get her daughter back.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, why do I keep blanking on people's names? Bacon's daughter.
Sosie. Carrie.
I meant Bacon's son. I meant her son. I could only remember her last name. Not that she was Kevin Bacon's daughter. What's her character's name?
Carrie.
So Carrie's son, not her daughter.
Yeah.
Her hope to get him back.
Mm-hmm.
Like all these people, this hope that dwells within them, regardless of like all this shit that's going on around them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, we got to keep going despite the given circumstances that we're under. Yeah.
What was the last line? It asked nothing of me.
Let me go to that.
Hope asks nothing of us except to remain hopeful.
Yeah, let me. Okay.
That Emily Dickinson, man, always hitting a home run.
Yet in okay, so this is the last stanza. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb from me.
Yet never in extremity it asked a crumb from me.
Yeah.
And I almost cried right there.
Oh man.
I don't know what's going on with me.
it's a heavy show. I mean, we're two very sensitive comedians talking about a heavy show. It's you know, it's not out of the ordinary for you to tear up. You know what I mean?
Well, it is like in the darkest, coldest lands, there's still this flicker of hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
She found those girls. This druggy Carrie's gonna get her shit together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mare might find some kind of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Although
I think she's getting towards it. I mean, it's a lot of theories out there. You know, it's this is one of those shows, like I don't know if we touched on it a little bit, but just recently within the last 3 to 6 months, we've had like some cool shows. Like, I don't know if you were into WandaVision, but
I still haven't seen the last two episodes. That was right when we moved. And okay. I didn't catch up.
Well, it's a terrific show. And it seemed like the fans of the show were just kind of like, if it doesn't have this thing, I'm not going to be into it, instead of just like letting things unfold and just really enjoying the ride, you know? So with this one, like this is a whodunit and we want to have our predictions and it's fun to predict, and hopefully, you know, we get some of them right, but that's not the point of the show. It's just the point of it is to enjoy the ride, and then, you know, we break it down.
Acting.
Yeah, the acting and everything.
The writing.
Yeah, so I mean, that's the fun. So let's just get into it. Let's do this. We open on an extreme close-up of Mare waking up in the hospital with the sound of Helen and Frank talking. Siobhan and Drew are there too. So she basically got extracted from that crime scene and went straight to the hospital where her loved ones are there. Frank is all, you know, Frank is there too. He's still around.
Yep. And it's like from her point of her eyeball.
Yeah.
And then her mom comes in, like with that. So mom, like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
It was so maternal. I cried right there. That's where.
Okay. Cry number one for Leah. Yeah,
cry number one, because you could feel her mom being like,
yeah, yeah.
And then when she's like, you can go back to sleep now. You know what I mean? I was like,
I was so happy for Mare at the end of the episode. Like, even though we lost Zabel, it was just still like, she fucking got him. Like, she fucking got that dude. And she got those girls back. Zabel helped. And sadly, he became a hero, but he didn't get to enjoy what that was. But his life did get some meaning in the whole scheme of things. You know, he was, you know, on the case and he, you know, found that dude.
He saved those two girls.
He saved them.
Sex slaves for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is horrific.
Right. Right. So then we cut to the local news report of Katie Bailey coming home. I wrote in that great cat in all caps. Great to see Don happy. It's officially confirmed that Zabel is dead. Mare watches from her hospital bed. We see an intercut or whatever you see, call this like a mini montage. Aaron's bike gets pulled from the lake. And then Chief Carter is interrogating Deacon Mark. And Father Dan told him that Mark was with Aaron the night of the murder. Mark lies about what happened to his face, saying he fell instead of saying he just got beat up by some local teens. He admits to the bike to dumping the bike, but says he didn't kill Aaron, and he's placed under arrest for tampering with evidence.
Those of you at home, you can't see me. I'm shaking my head.
Yeah, Deacon Mark is just like, dude, what the fuck are you doing, bro?
Like, get why he lies. Like, yeah. I understand it, but it's like, don't lie. Don't you see what's happening when you lie?
Right.
So why are you following up a lie you told with a lie about what happened to your face? I mean, yeah. I know why he is. He doesn't want to make it a thing as well, but it's like, you can't lie anymore. It's making you look bad. You need to stop lying. Also, you're supposed to be a religious person. And that's like in the top fucking do not do's. Lie.
Yeah. Just show up, dude. Just say you were there. You know, it probably would have been if he didn't. I mean, we all do that. It's a human thing. We're scared. But Deacon Mark,
I don't think we all do that. I don't think.
I mean, we all
feel scared.
We all feel scared. I mean.
But I mean, I think we've all watched enough murder mysteries to know that the more you try to hide something, the worse it's gonna be.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. We get the little montage of Mare coming home, Lori shielding her from the reporters. They get inside, Helen gives the finger to the horde of reporters.
That was so fun.
She's so fucking great. Like, I'm caught up on Hacks. The new show that she's on, the dichotomy between these two characters, it's just, she's exquisite. She's great. It's so fucking good.
And just to see her
in this is just like, you know, in this, you know, it's, she's so good. I've never, you know, I've always liked her, but it's just like, she's basically having her version of the McConaissance. Matthew McConaughey. Somebody coined that. I forget who.
You're making me giggle so hard today, Chris.
Somebody called it a McConaissance. It's somebody that may have been on this show that said that, and I can't think of who it was that said it. Yeah. So she's in
Designing Women. Is that what she was on?
Who, Jean Smart?
Yeah.
I don't know. She kind of came into my realm
I haven't seen Designing Women, and somebody recently asked me if I saw Designing Women, a good friend of mine. And I'm trying to remember if that conversation was because I was discussing how much I love Jean Smart.
She was on Designing Women.
That I need to write that down. Designing Women is a thing I want to see.
Okay. Yeah, she was on there. She kind of came into my purview. Is that right when you say purview? My purview. She came into my, I noticed her in, when she was in 24.
Okay, I haven't watched that either, but I know what it is.
Okay, so...
And Kiefer Sutherland's father, a dog that I was dog-sitting, humped two of his dogs in Central Park, and he was very polite about it, because I was very embarrassed.
Small world. Small world. I'll share my relationship with this show at some point. Remind me before we're done.
Your relationship?
Very loose 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon relationship
with
this show.
Donald Sutherland?
No, the cast member, one of the.
And I love how you're like mad at me for it. You're like, no, Leah.
God damn it, Leah. Shit. we're not even drinking and we're giddy. All right, let's go. Let's see. Okay. This is what I wanted to talk to you about. All right, so we'll talk about it after. Okay, so we cut to Mare's basement, I believe, and Lori is telling Mare that John is sleeping with Sandra again, and Ryan had seen them together, and he'd been hiding it for months, and she says it must have been killing him to hide that. Lori talks to Mare about his cheating. The last time he cheated, she could feel it. And Mare is telling her to be strong and be prepared for him to start turning on the charm. And Lori's like, I know, I'm still in love with him. He's the father of my kids. And she tells her that, you know, Mare asks, well, where is he? She says, well, he's at his father's place with Billy. Somebody mentioned this. I believe the AV Club mentioned the fact that. And I think that, well, actually, I think the AV Club did mention that. And then, is it Gail or Gwen? The psychiatrist said that she's always taking on other people's tragedy instead of dealing with her own shit.
Yeah.
And she just gets home from the hospital after fucking being shot and finding these girls, and she's like wrapped up in Lori's life with John.
Yeah.
You know, she's like taking that on immediately. It's like a pattern, like taking on, you know, the Katie Bailey thing before, you know, not really grieving for Kevin. Obviously, Aaron McMenamin and now Lori. And then like someone also mentioned that, you know, that's maybe when she started giving Betty Carroll her number, you know, like call me directly if something happens. So I don't have to be at home or idle thinking about Kevin, you know?
I think that it's totally like best friend stuff where like you're in something and your friend shares.
You know?
And I think it's also a lot of times people need to work when they're going through something. So it helps to remain busy. So I think that she could hear and be invested in people and also grieve. It's that she completely throws herself into them and blocks out this other side.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
I mean, that's how I see it. I, you know, some people maybe are better at taking time for just sitting in it. I just, you know.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Cut to John's dad's house, Pat Ross. Cut to Pat Ross's house. Pat is helping John with the mattress. He asks him, you know, what happened this time? He says, Lori thinks that I've been having an affair. He's like, she thinks it or you are, you motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm so glad he said that.
Yeah, yeah. Killing it with the Delco accent. Bill comes in angry and drunk. With a 12 pack of Yingling, not a 6 pack, but a 12 pack. Up in his game. And he's saying, you can't keep your dick in your pants. and all this is messing up. You got to clean this up and blah, blah, blah. Do you, I texted you last night after we talked and I was like, I think John is a father and Aaron was going to tell everybody. And then Billy killed her. But I feel like, I don't know if I'm right about that, but I feel like however Aaron died, it was an accident. I don't think it was on purpose. I don't know.
I think that my initial thought of that, and this may be graphic, of that picture that we haven't seen yet that was in the journal, was that it was her, Aaron, with both of the brothers.
Mm.
I agree with you. I definitely think that John has done something more than we are. Because also, and this coming is coming later, he tells Lori, oh, he admits to the affair. We didn't see that.
Yeah.
We just saw him admit to the murder, and we also heard John being like, I need you to say it. You
yeah
know, so it's almost like, are you coaching him?
Right
because in that moment when he's drunk and he's walking with Yingling, it's either like he is very angry with John because John hasn't had to pay any repercussions,
right?
And like what you just said was a very interesting idea, that maybe it was a mistake,
right,
entirely. So John's just like getting away with everything, and then, or it's that he's feeling so guilty that he's overreacting.
Yeah.
Which I started thinking that, but then as the episode went by, I think it's more the other one, that John is guilty.
Yeah. Cause it's almost like, Billy's yelling at him. It's not just about Lori. Like looking at that scene again, it's like, is it you fucked and you mess with Aaron too? And I'm mad at you at that because I really liked her because I bought her that necklace.
We don't know about
yes,
her necklace.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
This is Ross.
No, if you look at that. So shout out to Pete Peppers on YouTube. He took a still of it. And if you look over to the left, you'll see it says Billy Ross.
Oh, shit.
So Billy bought her that shit. Cause I was like, how did he know? And I looked at it. I paused it. I was like, you could definitely see it.
Peppers, Pete, what's his name?
Pete Peppers on YouTube. He's where like,
go Pete Peppers.
He's one of the, I mean, I think he almost should be doing this shit for a living. I'm not fucking man. If somebody's good, they're good. You know, I watched his recaps of Fargo and now this, like he's really good. He's really good at it, but not as funny as us. So you can't be everything.
Does he have the friendship that we have?
No, he doesn't.
But that's incredible that he screenshotted and looked at. I mean, I initially was like, it's got to be Billy. But then by the end of the episode, you're like, it could be John.
Yeah, it's but interesting.
It does make sense that Billy would be in love with her.
Yeah, yeah.
And mad at John.
Right, because John gets everything. He gets a fine ass wife and Lori, kids. What does Billy have? He cheats on her and still gets to live with her. We know. We'll see. Because I think he knew. Because I mean, we're not there yet. But when he's talking to Lori, he's telling Lori all that shit. He's feeding that info to Lori so Lori could tell Mare.
Well, and he's feeding her info that Billy didn't say.
Right.
You think he's feeding it to her so Lori will tell Mare?
Yep.
I mean, she's obviously going to tell Mare.
and she did tell her. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
No, that's very smart.
Yeah. Okay. So Mare is again watching a news about Zabel, about Potts, Wayne Potts, the kidnapper. There's been a memorial fund that has been opened for Zabel. Mare leaves her house and drives to Zabel's mom's house. She expresses being sorry about Zabel. His mother hits her with a two-piece.
did you write that down?
she blames Mare, obviously. Mare goes back home and cries for the first time.
That's the first time. And that's, well, that's,
and it's not first, in a flashback.
It's the first real deep, because she's welled up.
Yes.
It was the first heaving. I cried here. I cried here as well.
Yeah. She, cry number two for Leah. Yeah. I think she needed that.
Oh, me too. She needed to have her mom hold her.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you think when they're filming that actress actually slapped her that hard?
Probably. I don't know. Can you hit Kate Winslet?
That's what I want to know. Can you hit Kate Winslet?
I mean, they probably had a fight coordinator, you know, stunt court, like somebody just, because like there's head a
right when you.
Yeah, because there's a way to do it, like a stage slap on TV. It plays differently, you know. I mean, I've taken some, you know, fight choreography in my day, so you know, it's pretty standard stuff, you know.
Because that seemed to really knock her.
Yeah, she. I was like, ooh, two, not one, but two.
Two piece.
I was waiting for the biscuit on that one. Like, damn.
As soon as Mare got out of the car, I was like, I want to leave the room. That's how I felt. I want to get up and leave the room.
Like, you about to get hit.
Yeah, I was like, especially when she like launches right in. And I thought it was wonderful and honorable that she'd be like, he is a great detective and he saved my life. And obviously he saved those girls. He was a part of saving those girls.
Yeah.
And I thought what Mare did was honorable and respectable. But you know, I saw, obviously that's the way the mom was going to act.
Right, right. And she didn't like her anyway from the jump.
Yeah, she didn't.
Yeah. So she blames her, obviously, and Mare goes back home and cries. Helen holds her, or like we said.
That scene was when she runs up the stairs.
Yeah.
I'm going to cry again.
Okay. Next scene, Chief and Mare, he tells her that Potts, they're taking a walk. Potts didn't kill Aaron. He was in Altoona that weekend visiting his mother. I've been to Altoona. I've been to an Olive Garden in Altoona, Pennsylvania. I was doing this theater competition when I was a sophomore, I want to say. I think I was a freshman in college. And we did this thing at Juniata College in Huntington, Pennsylvania. And it was 2 hours from where I went to school, Emmitsburg, Maryland, which is close to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. We got snowed in. And when we finally made our way out, we stopped at a Olive Garden in Altoona, Pennsylvania. And I think Dan Marino is from Pittsburgh.
You know, when I first was introduced to Olive Garden, which is after I'd graduated college, I was obsessed.
When you're a young palate, for a young palate, it is kind of cool.
Well, it's fun. It's a fun time, especially like the one in Times Square. It's crazy.
I bet it's so fucking expensive though. I hate Times Square, like, you know, like
prices.
You can live your dreams as a performer and all that cool shit, but not that fun.
My ex-boyfriend's family was very obsessed with Olive Garden, Times Square.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh my God. I didn't turn on the computer lighting for you, so you're not seeing me in my best skin tone. There it is.
Oh, there you go. Oh God, that's so much better. No, you always look great. It's fine. You're good. All right, let's do okay, so he was in Altoona with his mom. What a piece of shit.
I thought you were looking up where Dan Marino was from.
He's from Pittsburgh. There, like, I don't think there's any quarterbacks from Altoona. Write in and tweet us. I don't see, like, Jim Kelly's from East Brady. Joe Namath is from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. I don't see anybody from Altoona, but I thought that there was some type of
like, it's really hard for me not to say something horrible. Like, maybe they're from Al Salmon. Oh,
hello, my baby. Leah is at the Borgata next week. Catch her at the Borgata.
Hey, that's going to be my first indoor show in a year and 2 months.
Congratulations. That was one. I did a week at the Borgata, like maybe like the 9th through the 14th of February. And then the 15th, I did a gig in Waretown, New Jersey. So I did, that was my last gig, was like the day after Valentine's Day. And then I did a gig. I did a show 2 weeks ago at a bar in Bushwick.
How'd it go?
I didn't bomb. Better than I thought. I did new stuff. I talked for like 9 minutes, and I think eventually it's going to get whittled down to 5.
Well, that's great.
I tell people I gave them a Snyder cut of a set. Nerds will understand that.
Oh no, I wish I understood it.
You were so earnest.
I almost to the point where I pretended I understood it and then was going to Google it, but I don't. I can't lie.
So there's the Justice League, the movie, which was panned.
And I know because it is. I didn't see the movie.
Okay, I didn't see it either. But the Snyder did his. He had to leave because he had a tragedy in his family, and he came back and said, "You know, I want to do my version of this film." And it's like 4 hours long. So anytime you have to explain a joke, it's just not fucking worth it by the look on your face. But
no, I just got so sad that he had a.
Yeah.
It wasn't reference to your joke. I got sad that he had a family tragedy.
Yeah. Yeah. But
it wasn't a reference to your.
That's okay.
I love all explanations.
Basically, I didn't bomb, and it was just like, oh, cool. I can still make people laugh and. You know,
get
I just
back
got
out there. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I got back out there. Yeah. But okay. Where did we leave off? So he was in
Altoona.
Yeah. He's with his mom in Altoona. Potts was. And he tells her that Chief tells Mayor that he let Hauser go and she's back on the case the following morning. So she's back in the game. He gives her badge back. So this is a fun scene coming up. Mayor and Helen are setting up pillows for Mayor's arm. She's got a cast on her arm. And Mayor asks, hey, did you fart? Yeah. And Helen gets all in her feelings. Like, I got new shoes and they make me sound like I'm farting. It's so funny. And there's the doorbell rings and it's Richard. He came to visit. He's got a gift basket with 2 cold Rolling Rocks, some hoagies from La Spada's, and some cheese steaks from Coco's. And, you know, he tells her that he's sorry about Zabel. He says, you know, her dad would have been proud of her that she found those girls. And she admits that, you know, the night that she turned him down for his birthday, she went on out on a date with Colin. And he says, you know, it's okay. He's like, we're not,
we didn't make promises.
Yeah, we didn't make promises or anything like that. And he says it's okay. Mayor tells him that she's got to get her shit together and she can't date him, basically. And he says, you know, hey, give me a call when you're ready. And she says, well, how do I know that you're not spoken for? He says, look, I'm 52 years old and I live in East Town. I think your chances are pretty good. You know, so he kind of makes it cool, plays it off, you know.
That he says, you can ask. Oh, go ahead.
I just said he plays it off. He took it like a G, like a gentleman, and was just like, okay, you know. I had a woman tell me that before.
Well, I think it's a real thing.
Yeah.
I
loved her. I could have seen myself falling in love with that girl. But I got a bit out of it. It's on my album, Failed Running Back.
And you never know. Her life together. Come knocking on your door.
She might get her life together and then get with somebody else.
Or she'll come knocking on your door.
Maybe.
Come and knock on our door. Chris is waiting for you. I like that he told her, you can call and ask me out on a date.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, I thought it was important that Mara said that we went out just as friends,
mm-hmm.
but it still wasn't the right thing to do. And I think she was talking about herself when she went out with him, you know, why she went out with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Good scene.
Really good scene.
Yeah. And we're back at
the I was hoping they were going to do it one more time.
I think they're going to at least make out, because there's in the trailer, there's a scene of them kissing.
Oh, is there? I never watched the trailers.
Maybe it's in the next. It's got to be in the last episode where they kiss.
Am I 5 years old? I hope they do it.
Yeah. I want them to do it too. I want her to be happy, you know?
You know, I want her to get some of that Guy Pearce penis.
Okay. Very clinical, that Guy Pearce penis. GP squared.
Is that inappropriate? Am I being disrespectful to somebody?
No. It's just funny the way you said it. It's penis. Almost, I thought you'd have been like, Guy Pearce Duke or something
like
that.
Well, I feel like he seems like a nice man in this. Yeah. So I wanted to call it a penis.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. So we're back at the police station. What was in those Starbursts you ate, Leah?
What's in those new mental health meds that I'm taking? The sign on it.
We're back at the police station. The ballistics expert is telling them that a Colt detective special revolver killed Aaron. And this is where everything is like, I'm thrown for a fucking loop. But we'll talk about this. A Colt Detective Special Revolver killed Aaron. And it was a gun that was popular in the 80s and was discontinued in 1995. And he tells them, you know, Mary, your dad probably had one. And they get informed that Brianna Del Rosso is on the phone and wants to talk to Mare. So this gun, like, nobody that we know has this gun.
Except we know that her dad probably had one.
Yeah.
So then who could have gotten her dad's gun?
I don't know if that's actually her dad's gun, but we see in the episode 7 trailer, somebody opens up a nice case with a gun in it, but it's not her dad. It's not her dad's gun. So it's just kind of like it's a revolver. So it's like, who the fuck did this shit? John or Billy don't have that type of gun.
No, Billy had
they have a pistol. I mean,
and Dylan had that was like a new gun.
Yeah.
That
he pulled on Jess. So it's like, I don't know. Like it's like, I don't know. Unless, oh shit. No, I'm not gonna say that.
Go ahead, say it.
No, I'm not gonna, I don't.
You brought it up. You can, I don't think it's, take it back.
I don't think it's like Father Dan or anybody. I just don't know. I'm just kind of like, the priests are out of it. It's weird. I don't know. That just throws a wrinkle in everything to me.
Of who's got that gun.
Yeah. I don't get it. Because if we don't know who that is, then it's like, oh, did John or Billy really do it? Or they're just shady as fuck.
How crazy is it going to be if it's a woman? And then also, why would Billy admit to it?
Yeah. Somebody did message us. Somebody commented on one of our posts and said, what if a woman did it?
You know, we can always hope.
You can hope that a woman did it.
I'm always hoping for equal representation in murders, but I, you know, with women, we're limited to like Lori.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it wasn't there.
Yes, yeah, like where Lori left the, she left the bar that when she met Richard. And she called her later that night, but
the only thing would be if she found out that John was sleeping with Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And she killed her by accident.
Yeah.
I don't think she'd do it on purpose. But I mean, if so, she's like the greatest liar
in
the world.
Where does she get that gun, you know?
And then she's just been completely.
Yeah. She is second billing to Kate Winslet, but it's like, why she hasn't really gotten the chance to eat as an actress. She hasn't gotten to chew much scenery. So I don't know.
But she, every time she's in a scene, it's so nailed. You know?
Oh, she's fantastic. You know I love her. But
oh, I know you do. Every time she comes on, I yell out, this is your girlfriend, even though you're not watching it with me.
Okay. So yeah, this is like, this just kind of puts everything into a fucking clusterfuck for me. I don't know. Okay. So anyway, we're at the Del Rosso residence. Chief and Mayor are questioning Brianna. She woke up at 2 a.m. and Dylan wasn't in bed. Mayor says, you know, this looks bad. You know, it looks like you just want help with your assault case. And Brianna denies it and says she just wants to do the right thing. The chief tells her to come down to the station to make a statement. Brianna's dad, Tony, apologizes for how he behaved and basically, congratulates her kind of, you know, for bringing those girls back home.
And he says everybody appreciates it.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I probably almost teared up there a little bit too.
Number three.
Because she needed to hear it. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
She did. Yeah. And she's just like shook her head, like, nodded her head. All right.
Yep. Such a her way of taking a compliment.
Definitely.
I also love that the wife was like, you know, you got to say something, buddy. Give her that look.
Without even saying anything.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Dylan, so back at the police station, Dylan is being questioned by Mayor and the chief. Mayor tells him that he needs to write a statement to wrap up the case. They're tying up some loose ends. Dylan says that he went home after being in the woods, like around 11. I'm not going to say the time because I forgot. I didn't write that down.
I think he said 11:45.
Something like, yeah, I think you're right. And Mayor tells him, remember, Leah said that and not me if it's wrong.
If anything's wrong, it was
me. No, I'm not.
Because Chris is, no, for sure, because you're on point.
I just
remember emotions. I don't remember.
That's fine. I make mistakes too. Mayor tells him that they spoke to Brianna and she says that he wasn't in bed with her at 2 a.m. And he admits to driving around and smoking weed and asks why that matters. Mayor tells him that Wayne Potts didn't kill Aaron, but you knew that, didn't you? Then ask if he stole Aaron's journals. Was it something you were trying to hide, you know? And Dylan asked for a lawyer. Mayor says that, yeah, you should. You said, okay. Mayor tells him that he should tell his lawyer that his alibi is falling apart and he's the prime suspect for a murder investigation. I don't think he killed Aaron, but I wonder what he's trying to hide. I think maybe it's just some crime shit.
Yeah, I think he's just doing dirty shit.
Yeah. We know he's just like a...
I don't know if he's like running prostitution websites.
Yeah, he's just a fucking criminal.
He's a criminal and he's a bully and he's a bag of dirty dicks. I don't like him.
Yeah. And we'll find out even more that he's a piece of shit. Okay.
I felt like the chief was enjoying her very much.
Enjoying Mayor. Like,
yeah, he was like, good to have her back.
Yeah. Yeah. Siobhan and Anne are hanging out. Looks like they're hanging out on campus at the college. She tells Anne that she talked to the Berkeley professor on the phone and that she wants her to fly out to California. Siobhan doesn't think her parents want her to go that far for school. I just wrote she's looking for excuses not to go away.
Yeah, Anne knew it too. Anne was like, did your parents say that?
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what I wrote. And Siobhan thinks that maybe she'll stay for Anne, who's like basically like, I like you, but we only been dating for a little while. I've had colds longer than our relationship. And she basically tells her, you know, things don't have to last forever to matter. And they've had sex because she says, look, the sex is good and I like you, but you know, hey, this probably isn't going to last forever. I thought she was kind of trying to break up with her there, and which was the reason why we see her calling her later. But I think
she was just being like, don't make choices for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
Because of a relationship, which is like a intelligent thing to say. And I feel like a lot of us don't learn that until later on in life. So
that's true.
This is her gifting her with knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah. Anne is absolutely right.
I think later Anne was just busy. She said she even said, I know you said you were at a thing. She's at a thing.
I think so too. And I've been on the other end, like not calling like that incessantly, but just like, where's she at? She's not fucking, does she hate me? He's like, oh, sorry. I was away from my phone, or I was away all day or whatever.
I've called like that. I watched that scene and I was like, especially when you're like drinking, you know what yeah. I mean? I've totally done it. And it's mortifying.
The worst that's cringeworthy, the best depiction of that is Swingers.
Oh, yes. Yes.
It's like, what the fuck?
With the answering machine.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah.
That happened to me once in college, I'll be honest.
Like, were you there the whole time? Yeah. Don't ever call here again. Oh, heartbreaking. Oh,
we all do it. We all do it.
Oh, I think after seeing that movie, I called you. I think my limit is 2.
Good for you. I mean, and, now my, but I wasn't in control of myself. In college.
Yeah. I was like, I tried, and I guess, okay, you're not into it. So. Let's see. Okay, next scene is Carrie. She's working at a laundromat. Her coworker asks if she's okay. She's like, oh, she's just tired. You know, she with along with this laundromat job, she cleans offices. This kind of reminded me of one of my all-time favorite movies of the past 5 years, 5 to 6 years. This movie called Columbus. Look it up, everybody. If you've listened to this podcast, The Mundane Festival, you know I love that movie. And one of the characters is a recovering drug addict who cleans offices. One of the characters in it. And it's a beautiful fucking movie. Anyway, and she's tired. And so her coworker asks if she wants some Energizer bunnies, some pep pills, basically. I thought of like Saved by the Bell, some caffeine. Oh. I'm so excited pills. And good for Carrie because she turns her down. And I was like, good job, Carrie.
Yeah.
Part of me was still kind of like, do it so Mayor can get custody of Drew.
She's trying so hard.
She is trying hard. But I was about to choke the shit out of her if I could. And a couple scenes later, mm-hmm. Mayor is at the grief counselor's office. She's the grief counselor. I think it's Gail. I believe it is. Let me make sure that I'm right about that. I feel like I am, but I just want to. It's got to be Gail. It's got to be. Sorry for pausing this pod.
No, I would weigh in on it, but I don't remember.
It is Gail. Gail Graham, played by
Issa Davis.
I feel like she's a really good therapist. Like,
she's great. Yeah. Okay. So she's back at Gail's office and Gail asks, why is she coming back? You know, she's not required by the police department to come back. And she's telling her that she feels the expectations of the town coming back again and that she can't live up to them. Because I don't think it was the catalyst, but Tony definitely saying what he said about like congratulating her and just apologizing. You know, like I feel like they felt, you know, she probably felt that it was coming back.
Well, she felt the anxiety, the nervousness was coming back.
Yes, exactly. And she said, and Gail tells her, like, you know, she tells her that she feels like she hasn't fully grieved over her son's death. And she asked Mayor to walk her through the day that Kevin died. It was on a Sunday. The neighbor saw him walking in the back of the house and he used to steal from the house. And so Mayor told him, you know, if you ever see him around, just let us know, call us or whatever. And then when the neighbor called, you know, she was running, Mayor was running errands, Frank was running errands. So Mayor called Siobhan and told her to check. And Siobhan
right there,
found,
I was like, there it is.
That's there's the rub.
Yeah.
And we find that Siobhan finds him. Kevin hung himself in the attic. And immediately when I saw another beautiful flashback music, the score, the editing, I was like, damn, and they still live in that house. And right after I said that, Gail asked, do you still live in that house? You know, like, and she's like, yeah. And but nobody ever goes into that attic. Your thoughts on this one, Leah?
Well, when Mara is in the therapy office, you feel like she's, since she doesn't have to be there anymore, she's really trying, you know, she's actually trying.
Right.
On her own accord. And then when Dr. Gale asked her to walk her through, I was like, oh, here we go. Leah's going to cry again. And is this four or five?
I think it's four.
Okay. And then so she said, Siobhan called her, and then she doesn't say he hung himself. We see it in the, so then she runs in, and then they have it sort of fast forward her running around the car, and I'm just, that's when I started crying.
Yeah.
And then Siobhan's crying, and yeah, you see long hair.
Yes.
And then she runs to the bottom. It's one of those old school, or not old school, but like those kind of houses where you pull the attic thing down and the ladder falls. She runs to the bottom of it and sees his legs.
Pulls him down. He was so heavy, and she couldn't. She was holding on to him until the paramedics like had to pry her apart from him. Yeah.
And that was like, oh.
Yeah, it's really fucking sad.
Rips your heart out. And, you know, I never thought once, it's funny that you were like, and they still live there. And then Dr. Gale asked if they still live there. And I never thought about it because I feel like, you know, I don't think I could leave either.
It's like, I'm not surprised that they're still there, but it's like, fuck.
But I feel like if somebody you loved killed themselves, it's all that you have left is to stay. I mean, I understand why that's not healthy.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's, I can imagine feeling like that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned Siobhan having the long hair before her Gwen Stacy haircut. No, not Gwen Stacy. Spider-Gwen. Yeah, it is Gwen Stacy. Yeah. From Into the Spider-Verse. You haven't seen that?
No.
Oh, you're not a superhero Marvel.
I am a superhero Marvel. I'm not a, that's animated, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's fucking great.
I know. I keep being told that, and it's on my list. I just have trouble watching animated things.
It won the Oscar.
I repeat, it's on my list.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not, you know, I'm just saying.
I just got to work myself up to watch animated things.
I'm just saying. I understand. I mean, and I think you probably like the new Harley Quinn show on HBO Max.
Won't.
It's really funny. It's really funny.
I really struggle with animated.
Okay, fine. All right.
People okay. be like, but what about The Simpsons? And I'll be like, is it animated?
I understand. I get it. But this scene, this is what a lot of people think that I read a couple of recaps and reviews, and folks are saying that this is the scene that Kate Winslet should submit for Emmys. For Emmy nominations,
this scene where she's running up the stairs.
Yeah, the whole when she's in the grief counselor's office.
I also loved the original one where she the first one because it was subtle, less subtle than this.
I like that one better. The one that you're mentioning, the very first meeting.
Because that one knocked me out of my fucking chair.
Yeah.
This one tore my heart out, and it was incredible. But that one. It's just her.
Yeah.
Talking.
Yeah. Great. It's just a great scene.
To have so many choices to
submit. She's got a lot. Yeah. Because it's not always the super duper emotional ones. It's the very, the subtle. Because anybody can, you know, all that crazy, you know, anybody, you know, whatever. But
I don't know if anybody can do that.
Well, you know what I mean. You know what I'm talking about. All right.
I also wanted to say that I always dreamed of having that side shave, which is obviously the hair cut that you're referencing with the over. And a girl that I went to middle school with had her hair that way. And I wanted it so bad, but it's really hard with curly hair to like cut apart like that and then get, like, grow it back.
I'm trying to see if I can show you the.
But I think that's really hot hair.
And yeah, she's cute. And Gowry Rice, she's a cutie. Spider-Gwen.
Oh yeah, that's great hair.
Yeah.
See, I love that you have an example right there with you.
I really dug the movie, and I have three action figures, the Miles Morales, Spider-Gwen, and the Prowler on my desk.
All right, I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, I think you'll dig it, but there's no pressure. You like what you like, and I'm not gonna pressure you.
There are animated things that I like, so it happens. I just have to work myself into it, and then I'll get there and I'll be like, I like this.
Yeah, yeah. I got you. All right. All right, next scene. Mare pulls up on Betty, and Betty's in front of Freddie's house. Freddie hasn't answered his phone in 3 days. One of the neighbors saw him go in and into the house, and he never came out. So Mare goes into the house and finds him dead. He overdosed, and she finds some of Aaron's clothes there. Mm-hmm. And she finds the Ross family reunion t-shirt, 5/29/17. Ding, ding, ding. I wrote before I knew that maybe he broke into the house while nobody was there because, you know, he was scamming on Don. So why wouldn't he just break in that house? But we'll find out a little later why he did that or how he got those clothes. And basically, Mare sees that, clocks it, and then tells Beth that he's gone. And then we get a cut to a clip of Kevin about to play a song about the first girl to ever break his heart. Siobhan is still working on her documentary. She calls Anne and leaves those voicemails. She's not going to the concert. She looks at an envelope from Berkeley and takes an edible, right?
Yep.
And Phoebe Bridgers is playing. The song is called I Know the End, hint, hint. That's playing in the background, and she's getting high and drunk and leaving voicemails. Your thoughts on this?
We've all been there. We've all been there.
Yeah.
I thought that the way that Mare told Bethy
mm-hmm.
that her brother was dead was like so gentle and direct and kind. And then she walked out and sat next to her and put her arm around her.
Yeah.
And I thought that was... Throughout the show, she is becoming better at being comforted.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And she's comforting others.
Right.
And then I thought the same thing about that. I thought, oh, she had stolen from, he was going to steal from. That's what I also thought happened until we found out later. Mm-hmm. And then with Siobhan, I just sort of was like, you know, she's looking for all these reasons not to go. And then now she's going to lash out at Anne because Anne was very direct about it. And Anne already said she was busy that night. And then,
yeah,
as soon as she took the edible, I was like, and then she starts drinking and you're like, this is not going anywhere. And she's watching videos of her brother.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is not going anywhere good.
What do you think the significance of that scene from the doc? Do you think that's a foreshadowing of something?
You think I was thinking that was like the Anne's the first girl that broke her heart.
Mm. Oh shit. Okay. Okay. I like that. All right. All right.
Or you thought it was talking about, are you referencing the people that think that Kevin had something to do with?
That just maybe Kevin got Aaron pregnant, or maybe Kevin liked her or some shit.
I don't think they're related.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, they could be, but when you said Kevin, when you told me that on the phone, I couldn't even remember who Kevin was because it seemed so out of the possibility of the people that did it that I couldn't. And obviously, he's a huge character. It just seems so not in the same. Do you think that? I don't.
No, I just wonder if that's a thing. But this is the type of show that makes you kind of paranoid. Well, was it Kevin? You know, did he? But I think maybe you're right. He's just talking about a girl he used to love, and now he wrote a song about it. Want to hear it? Here it go. You know, like I think you're right. I think it's just that was just about a moment in time. It's not related to Aaron or anything going on now.
I mean, I could be totally wrong, but I thought it was more sending her into thinking about Anne.
Yeah, I think you're right. I like that better. And it's when I was that age, when I was Siobhan's age, it was instead of Phoebe Bridgers, it was Brian McKnight.
One, you're like a dream come true.
It predated that song, but it was more you. I think it was You Should Be Mine.
Girl, it's plain to see that you're the only one for me.
Okay, Leah. All right. All right.
And four.
Oh, here we're still going. Okay.
Repeat steps 1 through 3. 5. I'll make you fall in love with me.
There you go.
Whenever I start back at 1. I just had to get to the start back at 1.
Okay. That's fine. It's the title. I get it.
I didn't listen to that song a couple hundred times or anything.
Oh my God. All right. So where are we next? We're at a basically like a memorial, a repast for Freddie. It's not anybody's house. I thought it was somebody's house, but it's just like a meeting center.
House? I thought it was
it looked like a VFW type thing or it looked like
we were at Bethy's house.
I don't think that was Bethy's house. It looked like a municipal place. A multi-purpose room of some kind.
Well, then they go out on a deck.
Yeah, but it looks like, I don't know. Write in, tweet at us and see if that's, I don't think that's Bethy's house. I think it's just like a place in town where people meet. We're having this thing for Freddie at this house, at this multi-purpose room or at the VFW. I could be wrong. Tweet at us. Let us know what you think, where they were. But Lori and Mayor are outside of that place that could be Bethy's house or not. Lori thinks that, you know, Mayor asks how Bethy is doing. Lori thinks that part of her is relieved that Freddie's finally gone. That Freddie's gone. She asked Lori about the family reunion at Lake Harmony, which I guess was in the Poconos, and it was a get together for the family after Aaron's mom died. They wanted to do something nice for Kenny and Aaron to lift their spirits. So John rented some cabins on the lake. They swam, fished, and had like barbecue. She asked who was around. Don comes out to talk to Mayor. She tells her that Katie wakes up in the middle of the night having nightmares and screaming and stuff like you know, think that she would, and says, you know, she'll never be the same, but she was never really herself before she got taken. Like years before she got taken, she was a different person. And she's basically thankful that Mayor brought her home and Mayor hugs her. Nice. Another nice scene. Like two of her antagonists were Tony and Don earlier in the show, you know, so that was cool.
And Dawn also had said earlier too, she said that she felt bad on how hard she was on Mayor and worried that sort of preceded her breakdown. And Bethy was like, no, you had to do what you had to do as a mom. Mm-hmm. So it's like she'd had those feelings before, because she says to her, you know, I'm sorry and thank you. And I feel like they both had an understanding of each other.
Mm-hmm. Do you think... Dawn may have had a little more sympathy for Mayor after her run-in with Freddie being a fake kidnapper?
I think she had sympathy for her after Mayor. She believed that Mayor was taking time off to deal with her son's passing.
Mm.
And because she got shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also very quickly was thinking about how absolutely crazy it would be if Kevin was an Aaron, because, you know, they have a video in the beginning where she was like, I wonder who was with you on your last days.
Yeah.
And that if it really goes back to Aaron, it's going to be crazy. It would be crazy.
Yeah, because it's like you see that Jess has that picture. And it's a picture, you could see that Aaron's in that picture, but you couldn't see, like you could just kind of see a little bit, like if you pause it, but then she's with somebody else. And then immediately Chief Carter's like, get Mayor on the phone now.
Which I immediately assumed was because Mayor needed to actually worry about John.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that she was going, but you know, it could absolutely be that. And then they test her DNA to see if, you know, it's relational. And then she has a whole new kid to keep. I mean, it's plausible. I don't feel that, but I mean, it's absolutely plausible.
And in shows like these, you try to leave no stone unturned in a lot of ways. But I'm hoping it's not. I don't know. But it was riveting nonetheless.
Because it really seems like Billy was having sex with her.
I think so too. Because why else would he buy her that necklace?
And why was she sleeping in his house for so long?
Yeah. Yeah. Why did he get freaked out in episode five and leave without drinking his Rolling Rock?
Unless he knows it's because John did it.
Yeah. All right. So next scene, Siobhan's being brought home by her friend. She's drunk and stinking with Nathan and Jeff. Bring her home. Mayor tells him to go. She's like, get out of go. Okay, leave. Yeah. Hey, we're sorry. Get out of here. They say she's having a hard time, and she says it should have been her. It should have been you. At first, I thought, oh, damn, you wanted Mayor to get killed instead of Zabel? But it should have been her that found Kevin.
That's what I thought too. That was my line of thought as well.
Yeah, it's like, why didn't you? We never talk about him. Why, you know, she breaks down and Mayor consoles her. She says she's sorry. And another hugging scene. Another hug.
I cried there too.
So that's like five or four or five?
That's five. That one was really because she's pushing away so hard, but she obviously wants her mom to say that, you know, she obviously needs her mom to hold her and tell her. You know, but she's like pushing away, and then Mayor's fucking fighting her and pulling her in. Ugh.
Yeah. Ugh. Tough. Great scene though. John comes home to his dad. His dad is like super nervous. And John says, you know, Pat tells John to sit down because he needs to tell him something about the night that they went to Frank's engagement party. Billy got home around 3 or 4 a.m. He went downstairs to the laundry room where Billy was. There was blood everywhere, blood all over Billy. And then the next morning they found Aaron, and John is like fake blown away. Yeah, and asked if he talked to Billy about it. And he's like, well, basically asked, what are they going to do? You know,
you remember when we talked about this, when they were at the fundraiser and John and Mayor were like cooking up hot dogs?
Yeah.
And I said I thought it was weird that he volunteered that Frank was with him because it also gave him an alibi.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still think that's weird.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I think that's going to come.
And he so clearly knew already.
Mm-hmm. Even when he found out, like when Lori told him Kenny's Aaron, like he was like acting like he was trashed waking up. He probably was kind of trashed that morning in the second
and episode. Also, like, once a man cheats on his wife two times, his wife and his kid, and such a great wife, he's capable of lying about anything.
Yeah I would be surprised if it wasn't him. If he didn't have anything to do with it, I'd be surprised.
I'd be shocked.
Yeah. So we cut to the prison where Mayor and Chief Carter are questioning Kenny about why Freddie had Aaron's clothes. And he said that Freddie didn't have any money for his daughter's birthday, so Kenny told him to go over and get some of her stuff. He admitted that it was kind of morbid, but he felt good that somebody could use her stuff. And Mayor asked about the reunion shirt. He tells them that they all went to the Poconos and had a good time, and it rained a bunch, and they stayed in the cabin most of the time. Kenny and Aaron stayed in the cabin with Billy because he had extra rooms, and Mayor bring. Okay, that's it. Yeah. Weird. Don't you think that was kind of weird? Like a weird plot device? Like, oh, here's my dead daughter stuff for your daughter to use for her birthday. Or no?
It didn't strike me as weird.
It didn't? Okay.
I think you just wanted her stuff to be somewhere.
Yeah.
Buddy.
Okay. And we get another scene.
Me that, because she shows him the locket.
Yeah. And he doesn't know anything about it.
That Billy like you said, you know, I've always felt like Billy and Aaron were doing it. And I think it's plausible that he fell in love with Aaron.
Yeah.
And then John, God knows what John did too. But then also when he says to Billy, I need you to say it. And he said, I killed her. He could have been actually not the person who actually killed her, but that it was his fault that she died because he was in love with her and gave her a baby what a way to say that. Got her pregnant. And then he felt so guilty about it, but that he's taking responsibility for, like, if John actually fucking shot her, but but Billy's the more sensitive one, possibly. Yeah. He was actually in love with her. And that's why John, I just thought it was so weird that John was like, I need to hear you say it.
Right. Right.
As opposed to like, we killed her. Cause that locket is romantic.
Yeah. Definitely in love with her. Next scene is a quick scene. Mayor brings Drew to Carrie. That's it, really. You know, Drew seems to be a little more, way more at ease with his mom at her new place this time around. Mayor mentions in the next scene that, you know, he didn't even look at her. He didn't even look back at her when he, you know, went to his mom and, you know, Mayor before they go back inside, before she leaves, she says, you know, take care of him for us. And then there's just kind of like a wide shot where she's just kind of standing in place in front of the building for a little bit, knowing it's probably one of the last times she'll see him for, you know, like
that she's gonna lose him to her.
She's gonna lose him, just contemplating that. Probably like at the top of episode what, 3 maybe or 4, where she's staring at Drew.
Mayor.
Yeah. So then Mayor goes to see Frank after dropping Drew off. Frank tells her that Faye left him to go to her mother's house, and that's been going on for a little bit. Frank talked to the custody lawyer, and it's not looking good for them, as they could lose him as early as the summer. Mayor isn't surprised, and that baffles him a little because she's not putting up a fight. And Mayor says, basically, you know, that they've got to give Carrie a chance to be his mother. And Frank's like, surprised at this. He said, why, you know, when did you become so philosophical? And Mayor says, I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting old. Good scene.
And also she's like, I don't know. I'm actually in therapy and I'm trying to be.
Yeah. Therapy is working. And then this is the thing that made me nervous. You got any more thoughts about that scene at all?
I thought it was a great scene. And it just shows how they're still functioning in many ways as co-parents.
Yeah, they're still a team. Then we cut to Carrie giving Drew a bath. And I wrote, I'm nervous.
I was like having a heart attack.
I wrote, she fucking falls asleep. And we get this inner cut between Sean and Dylan pulling up on Jess Riley outside of her building. Dylan tells her that the three of them are joined together forever, and he tells her to get in the car. Get in the fucking car. Jess runs away. Sean chases her on some Fast and the Furious type shit. She hides under a car. Dylan finds her and pulls a gun on her and tells her that if she talks, she's going to end up with her face blown off, just like Aaron. Then I wrote, thank God Drew isn't dead. Drew's fine. He was just playing in the water.
That was terrifying.
So, Leah, why didn't Jess just run inside of her building and not come out?
That was literally the first thing I had written down there. What? Run right back into your building.
Yeah. And call the cops.
I don't know. You know, there's this thing with teenagers. I know I was this way where you feel like you're going to get in, you're more afraid of getting in trouble than you are of getting murdered by this teenage boy and his gun, I guess.
Sure.
Also, maybe it was just she didn't think she could get her keys ready that fast. You know, I don't know. But I was like, your house is right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then also when he said we're joined for life, I was wondering if it was more than just the burning the journals together. Like, had they all been doing something?
That's what I'm thinking too. Yeah.
I think your mic just cut a little bit.
My mic cut. Can you hear me now?
No, it's you lost your.
How about now?
That was perfect.
Okay, this fucking XLR cable. All right.
So I don't know if they were like doing like maybe she set up Jess's profile on that website because they actually ran it, or maybe they were dealing drugs together, or I don't know.
It's something. I don't think it's just the burning of the journals. It's something else.
Yeah, because they seem to have a relationship before. Because why would she have agreed to do that if they didn't have some kind of a something?
Yeah, yeah.
But I did notice in that scene that the gun was like not a, wasn't an old school cop gun.
Right, right. Definitely not. Okay.
Oh my God, that scene with Carrie and the kid.
Yeah, that I was like, what the fuck?
When his little back was up in the water, I was like, no!
Oh my God, yeah. I was freaking out. Great editing again.
Great editing. It just like raises your... I'm hoping that she'll realize that she's very overtired.
Yeah.
And she could like learn a lot about his schedule and stuff because they've spent so much time with him. And maybe they'll come together and everybody can share, you know?
Because I was like, I hope, like, because it made that scene made me think, that whole sequence made me think of the scene where Helen is and Carrie are washing Drew. And I was like, oh, fuck, I hope that's not some foreshadowing bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God. All right.
I was like, we can't lose this kid.
No, because I was gonna be like, fuck this show. You know, I was going to be mad. All right. Next scene. John is back at his house, and he thanks Lori for letting him see the kids. And you can see like he's on that bullshit because Mare was like, watch out for his charm. He's like, I'm gonna work my way back to you. It sounded like he was doing an R&B talk down. He's like, I'm gonna work my way back to you, girl. Don't worry about it. I was like, ooh, that's that charm.
Oh, he's such garbage.
Yeah, I know he's a piece of shit. And so he thanks Lori for letting him see the kids. She asked him if he remembers the family reunion and if anything happened to Aaron that weekend. And John looks like he's hiding something. Lori tells him to ask Billy because she stayed with him in the cabin. Your thoughts?
I thought this was such a good scene of him. We know he's hiding something because we know that even if he hadn't known before, he now knows that Billy came home with blood.
Mm-hmm.
And that Billy and him, they were all with Aaron. So he does know. So even if he didn't know, so we know he's lying.
Yeah.
Even if he hadn't already been lying, he now knows. So we get to watch what his face looks like when we know he's lying. And he's very adept at being like, oh, why do you ask?
Yeah.
Let me ask him. And you're just like, this man is a liar.
Yeah. Like we used to say when we were kids, you lying like shit. All right. Next scene. Mare is looking at Aaron's Instagram again. She finds that pic of her wearing the family reunion sweatshirt, t-shirt or whatever. Cut to John questioning Billy.
In that picture, though, Billy's behind her staring at the back of her head.
Oh, really? Oh, shit.
He's way in the back and he's going like this.
You can't see Leah's face.
I always forget that they can't see me.
It's very creepy.
Intense stare.
Maybe next week we'll do a live stream and they can see your face. And
I'll be at the Borgs. Let's hope that the internet works there.
Oh shit. Well, hopefully it will. We'll figure it out.
I'll just buy the upgrade.
Okay. Mare is looking at Aaron's Instagram again. She finds a picture of her wearing the family reunion shirt, blah, blah, blah. We cut to John questioning Billy. He needs to hear Billy say that he killed her. And Billy admits it. Then we cut to John with Lori trying to get her to hide that Billy did it. Then we're back at back at their dad's house. Billy is ready to confess. The next morning, John asks him to say, hey, you know, hey, why? Before we do that, why don't we go up to Dad's cabin one last time to go fishing like when we were boys? And Billy agrees. Mm-mm. Then we cut to the jewelry store. Mare is asking the jeweler about the necklace. He tells her that it's one of theirs. A girl tried to sell it back, but she couldn't because it was already engraved and there's no take backs. She asks him to find out who bought it. Then we cut again to Billy loading up the truck, and he opens up the tackle box to put something in there, and he finds a gun that's not the detective, Colt detective revolver. It's just it's a pistol. It doesn't look like it's his because he's surprised that it's in there.
Yep.
So it's not his gun. Cut back to the jewelry store. The necklace was purchased by someone named Ross on 6/15, June 15th, 2017. And if you pause it, like I was telling you earlier, you see Billy Ross on the left side of the document.
Good catch.
Shout out to Pete Peppers again.
Pete Peppers. And to you for doing your due diligence.
Oh, yeah. And so Mayor rushes out. Then John and Billy are driving to the cabin. Billy is looking shook, as always, nervous, looking at John. And they stop, and then Billy takes out the tackle box. John's like, hey, give me that tackle box. He's like, nope, I got it. I got the tackle box. I'm the captain now. Then we're back at Lori's house. We go back to Lori's house. Mayor asks if Lori's seen Billy. Lori tells Ryan and Moira to go upstairs. Mayor like looks after to make sure they went upstairs, and she says, look, Mayor tells Lori that something happened at the reunion. Lori tells her that Billy shot Aaron and that Billy is DJ's father. Aaron started to threaten everyone. Relationships started at the reunion. The relationship, she calls it, started at the reunion. And she tells Mayor where Billy and John are. And Mayor tells the chief everything as she's driving to the lake. He tells her to pull over and wait for backup. Mayor says, okay, and then immediately speeds up. as we know that she's going to do. I started laughing when I said, she's like, okay. Yeah. And she's like, hightailing it. Back at the police station, Trammell tells the chief that Jess Riley is there looking for Mayor. And the captain tells her to come in. Mayor pulls up to the Ross cabin, cut back to the chief questioning Jess. Jess gives him a picture. We can't see it. Chief looks at it, says, get Mayor on the phone. Do it now. And then we go back to the cabin. Mayor is walking like she is on a motherfucking mission, and then blackout.
I yelled at the screen when he reached across for the photo. I was like, show us the photo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Cliffhanger. Huge cliffhanger.
Such a huge cliffhanger. The part with the tackle box, like he, as you said, he clearly didn't know the gun was in there.
Yeah.
John obviously wants the gun. He obviously is like planning to shoot his brother. Is it to cover up what his brother knows that he did?
I think so. Yeah.
Because he also told Lori stuff that we didn't hear Billy ever say.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Because he knew Lori was going to tell Mayor.
I love your point about that. That's such a great point.
Yeah, it's like he knew. He's like, I know I'm on the outs with you. And it's like, all right, so I know you're going to tell her. You're going to tell her what I need you to tell her.
He's so sneaky. You got to fix your mic again.
He's basically like, you know, can you hear me now?
It's not totally clear.
How about?
There, perfect. Perfect.
I hate this. I got to make this.
I just don't want any of our listeners to lose a gem that you say. I want it all clear.
I do too. But I just think he's gonna, yeah, he's telling her that shit. He's a liar. And yeah.
Oh, I did love that Mayor went and looked to make sure the kids were upstairs. Like, it's such a.
Because she's gonna tell your dad's a piece of shit. Somebody, yeah. Your dad or your uncle is a real piece of shit. So. There you have it. Do you have any more thoughts? Any thoughts about this episode before we wrap up?
I want the next episode. I want to see that picture.
I want to see. We're going to see it. We're going to see everything. I think everything's going to get resolved. It's just been keeping me on the edge of my seat. I wish they could give us a review copy. But, you know.
Why can't we get a review copy?
I don't know. We're not pressed.
We're pressed.
I don't know.
I mean, but, I hope that I think Anne will be like, it's I can't date a younger woman. You're out of control. But I wish you the well. And I think I'm hoping Javon will be like, yeah, I know. Totally. You called it. And I am going to go to Berkeley. And then I hope she'll remember in her drunken state that her mom apologized. And yeah, they'll have some kind of like connection in that and closing of that. And Siobhan will realize how much Mare knows that she's had to shoulder and that she's sorry for that. And that Mare will have some kind of closure with her son. And that everybody who's a piece of shit gets caught. This is what I hope.
Me too. Me too. Yeah, I'm interested in finding out about Dylan, obviously about the picture.
Dylan's a piece of shit regardless, and I want him to get in trouble for whatever dirty shit he's doing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Me too.
Because he's just going to get worse. He's like pulling guns on young girls and pulling them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if he had nothing to do with the murder, which seemingly he didn't.
Right.
He's garbage.
Garbage. I was gonna say like my 6 degrees of being related to this show. So before the shutdown, I was working on Broadway in this play called The Lehman Trilogy, and one of the stars was Ben Miles, and hopefully the show is gonna come back soon. Like we know, hopefully the show comes back. But Ben Miles is one of the stars of the Lehman Trilogy, and he was slated to play Richard in the play and on the show. He was slated to play Richard, but he, because of the scheduling conflict, I think it was because of the play, he couldn't do it. So, you know, they asked Guy Pearce to do it, and Guy Pearce and Kate Winslet are good friends. And the Lehman Trilogy is directed by Kate Winslet's ex-husband, Sam Mendes, who directed 1917 and American Beauty, among other things.
Very amazing.
Yeah, that was super. I'm not cool. Yeah, that was just how I'm very, 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 very.
No, I love it, and I hope the play comes back.
Yeah, very loosely related. I hope so too. Got bills to pay.
I think good thoughts. I'll put it on my good thoughts list.
Thank you, Leah.
You know, I turned into my nana. My nana used to have this little book where she was very religious, so it was like a prayer book, and she would write down all the people. And then she would, you know, go over it before she went to bed at night. And then I now have like a good thoughts list, and I write everybody's thoughts down. And I'm wearing matching like zip up coats and nightgowns. So I'm literally turning into my nana.
Don't we all turn into a version of our parents and grandparents when we get older anyway?
Oh, my nana was a real, she like was like one of those grandparents who would never let you win. Even as a child, she'd be like, you're playing the adult rules and I'm not letting you win. It's not the world we live in.
Did you ever beat her?
No.
Oh,
very, very intelligent.
What game were you playing? What game?
Played like Scrabble and Boggle.
Uh-huh.
And I'd be like, let me have 3-letter words. And she'd be like, what kind of world is this? No.
And even if you cried?
Yeah, she didn't care.
Good on your grandma, preparing you for the world.
I really loved her.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I think that's good. I think we had a fun episode. This was fun. This episode was fantastic. It just keeps getting better and better.
Look forward to this every week.
I do too. If there's, I almost feel like I'm enjoying the show, but I'm almost feel like I was taking notes and pausing during the, so I enjoyed it, but I was still like, I got to make sure but it's fun. So we get to close this out. I think next week I'm going to have some Rolling Rocks. I have a couple more left from that time I bought them. So great. maybe I'll do that or get a Yingling or something, a tall boy.
Sounds amazing.
To celebrate. But this has been great. We got one more. Follow us on social media. I'm at Chris Lambert. Leah is at Leah Bonema. You can hit us up on Twitter, Instagram. Let us know your thoughts about the show, and we'll talk about them. And yeah, thanks so much for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
See you for the finale.
Peace.